I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show to talk about the health and healing process and take your questions. We're going to kick off our conversation today talking about these things, the mental game around suffering and even the fear of suffering, just the mental fortitude it takes for the long haul, and maybe how to help a loved one understand. So maybe you're married to someone who says so wants to understand what your journey's like, but they just don't get it. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about how to manage pain and the different mechanisms of pain. And of course, we've got lots of questions. We'd love to take your questions. And it looks like our phone lines just opened up. Yes, thank you, Lord, and thanks, producers. So you can either text or call. We're going to talk for the first few minutes about the things I mentioned, but you want to get your call or your text in right away. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Text or call. You know what? You can also email me. I'm going to watch my email, susie@myfaithradio.com. A quick caveat, Dr. Troy isn't here to diagnose you over the airwaves, and his advice isn't meant to take the place of your physician. So we always want you to consult your doctor before making any changes to your health program. But he's here because we're both very passionate about the healing process and both strongly believe there's always something you can do to move towards better health and healing, right? Quick announcement, we've got the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference coming up this summer in July, and there's still some one-on-one appointments available. I would love to see you there. If you have a dream of getting published, we've got an amazing faculty of editors, agents, experts, and it's going to be great. So I hope we can see you. You can find that information. Also, you know what? We give away these gorgeous awards for the writing contests within the conference. So if you want to submit an essay, there's probably five different categories where you can win an award. Check it out, Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. Conference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Doc, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for letting me in the building.
Yeah, we got the band back together. I love it. So you know this, you've been on probably almost more than anybody else. We love to start talking scripture. You got a passage for us today.
Yes, 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
I just quoted that to myself or prayed that to myself yesterday, because you know what that tells me is, you know, after you've suffered a while, there's an end date to your suffering, and there's a point where God himself comes to get you and puts you on the path. What has it meant to you?
Well, I know he's talking about shepherding the flock there, and in 1 Peter 4, before that, he's talking really about how to, as a Christian, handle suffering, and he's talking about being persecuted for being a Christian, and I get that, but it's still the same principle. And what he's saying is that Christ suffered for us, for our sins, and so we are meant to be like Christ. And part of what his message there is to keep going and keep moving. And one of the things, when I read that, it astounds me how the similarity is there when it comes to people who are in their health journeys at the clinic, where, in fact, one of the talks that we do at the clinic for our patients and our programs is we give a visual of a mountain, climbing up a mountain. And if you've ever climbed a mountain, there are peaks where you get to a peak and the sunlight on the top of that peak is just really warm. And a lot of times you have to take your clothing off as far as the outside heavy hoods and everything and jackets. And then not more than an hour later, you can be in the darkness of a valley and just freezing. In fact, when I climbed a mountain in Chile, or a volcano in Chile, within an hour, I got a little sunburn on the top of my head because I have little balding spots up there. And less than an hour later, I got frostbite on my cheeks. And so, the extremes were crazy. I was sweating and then I was very cold. And so it's really important to take a look at that journey that we're on, the ups and downs, and know that with our patients, we use that analogy because we want you to keep going. And it's very, very true for a Christian too. His guidance to the Christians is to shepherd the flock. Keep going. Keep teaching the good news. Hmm. We know you're suffering, but don't stop. Keep going.
Keep on keeping on.
And so it's that one step, one foot in front of the other. And that's part of the journey. And he knows we're suffering. And he says, just wait. Because I know how you've suffered. And this is what we call delayed gratification. And if you think about it, it's so the opposite of how our world works right now.
So true.
That he is giving us the ultimate in delayed gratification, where we get this experience of suffering, and then we get this I don't even know how to explain it, what it's going to be like. We just I can imagine though, and I think there's a song about that.
Indeed. Well, you know what is resurrection without death? You know what is victory without defeat? You know what is breakthrough without some kind of opposition? And I just think we'll never have the appreciation of the future glory until we experience the suffering in the valley. And just, you know, our Christian walk is never a straight line from point A to point B. So neither is the healing process a straight line. It's exactly highs and lows. And you know, one of the things I think that makes you so effective is you really have a shepherd's heart. I mean, there's plenty of times over the years I've been in your clinic and I've broken down and cried just because, you know, you see me a month prior and I'm like, I'm good. The next month I'm terrible, you know, and I hate that, but that is a reality. But you never seem surprised because I think you see it a lot.
I see it all the time. Yeah. And so, and I also cry a lot in my clinic.
Just I love that.
No, just You're not the only one.
That's good. Yeah.
that is the common path to success, if you will, in the health clinic. And success for us as Christians is getting to heaven and just seeing Christ and being there with them. And so that is the path. That's what we see all the time. And we can't judge it as success and failures. And the visual we give to people is it's like climbing a mountain, and the path you just took, you slide backwards a little bit. And when you're in the darkness of the valley, people will decide to stay there the rest of their life and not move forward. And what actually is the cure for darkness? It's light.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get to the light is to take that next step and keep going up. And God is with us all the time. He'll help you on that journey. And people who have taken that journey will help you take a different path up that mountain. And that's part of the process. So in the healthcare world, especially dealing with any type of chronicity, we are very used to that. We're used to the ups and downs, and we get used to it was very uncomfortable for me in the beginning because I would take it to heart. My first 2 years of practice were awful, and I would not sleep, and I would be going through what the patients were going through because I was feeling a lot of what they were going through. And that was awful until I realized that it's just a moment in time. And when you take a step back and you take a look at the actual journey, there's so much more to it. And I'm going to say one other thing, because I just heard a pastor talk about this the other day, and he was talking about just some of the stuff that's going on in the world and end days. And he said, I want you to look at the S at the end of that word day. End days implies more than one. And one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So if you look at, since the passing of Christ and since Christ had risen, that's 2,000 years. That means 2 days has occurred. And so a lot has happened in those 2 days.
Wow.
And so when you take a different perspective and different look at it, you see things differently. So when someone comes in, they're talking about they're in the darkness of the valley, they're just not doing well, we can help, you know, step back and take a look and say, no, I can see a different path up here. And we believe that there's an answer to every problem, that God can solve every problem. He wouldn't create or allow problems without solutions. So we just have to stay connected to God. He will light our path. And I never know what it is. You know, many times I don't know what that next step is for people in the moment. Sometimes we do, but it always happens eventually in His time. Hopefully it's not 1,000 years.
Indeed, yeah. You think about it, 2 days have passed. The third day is, you know, Sunday.
Yes.
Jesus coming again. So I don't know. There may be some symbolism there. But, you know, when you look at your person who maybe slides back in the valley and gets stuck, and maybe you don't even see them again, and the person who continues to prevail, what is the person in the valley who's stuck telling themselves? And what is the person who's keeping on, keeping on? What are they telling themselves?
Well, the person stuck in the valley, that's such a great question, actually. The person stuck in the valley is believing a lie. There's a lie that is being believed. And because it in a court of law, you would win that you feel like a victim, like you've been victimized, like the suffering is enough for you to not do and take that next step. Up against everything else, you would win that argument. That's for sure. But there's a lie that is being believed that there isn't an answer to your problem. There's a lie being believed that God doesn't love you like everyone else. There's a lie being believed that you have to go through suffering to get to the next step or whatever it is. If you find out what that lie is, that is also life-changing. We have a little trick, too, for people to identify when they are lying to themselves. If you ever hear yourself throw out an excuse, then there's a lie attached to it. So quote that says, I think I'm going to get this right, but the quote is, an excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie.
Love that. Wow.
And when you hear yourself throw out an excuse, it means there's a lie attached to it. And I'm going to give you an example because recently I caught myself throwing out an excuse. I literally heard myself say to one of my staff members, I don't have time for that. And it was something really important. And so I went back to my desk and I said, oh my gosh, that's an excuse. So I wrote down, I don't have time for that. And then I didn't have time to address it at the time. So I
lie,
didn't.
I'm coming back for you.
But I came back to it and it took me a couple of days, but I realized that the lie I was believing was that I couldn't delegate it because the person I would delegate it to couldn't do it as well as I could. And so I didn't delegate it. So I didn't create the time for this very important task I was given. And so I basically ended up delegating it, and I was right. It wasn't done as well as I did the first time or the second time. About 3 weeks into it, they were doing it better than I was, and I came back and thanked one of the doctors at the clinic, and she was doing a fantastic job with it, and it created more time for me. And so that, if I had stuck to my guns on I don't have time for that because I didn't delegate it, and then I would be still stuck where I was. So there's a constant, never-ending learning process with that. And I do feel that as God has given me more to work with and work on, things are going at a much faster rate. And I have to catch my excuses much, much quicker because as I get to my limits, the excuses start to fly.
Oh, love that. We're going to pause here. But as you're talking, I'm thinking about me, the person listening today, going, you know, maybe their excuse is wrapped in a lie is I don't have time to put into my health, you know, but you get up every day, you eat every day, you walk every day. And when I worked out at the club, I work out at home now, but I took a cycle class from an old cycle friend, and she always used to say, we're not working out, we're training, because she's a pro cyclist. So she took it into a whole level, you know, it's like out there, you can do whatever you want. In here, we're training. And I just think when you start to go, okay, I'm going to eat anyway, so I'm going to make some different choices. I'm going to walk anyway. I'm going to walk a little further, a little faster. If you can start to just tweak going, I have time, and I'm just going to use it in a way that moves me towards health, it could make all the difference in the world. When we come back, we got a number of questions to ask you, Doc. And even just one to think about is, you know, let's take mold toxicity. You've got somebody who's just, it's so complicated. And then you've got a spouse who's like, it seems fake. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. And so there's this disconnect. It's hard enough to walk. That's not my situation. My hubby's amazing. But I've heard that story before. And it's so painful because they're trying to navigate this complex situation and trying to convince someone they're not a hypochondriac. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. We'll be back in just a sec. Song. Wow, I had to let that play out. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Sparrow, who joins us on the show every month to talk about health and the healing process. And we're just starting off our conversation talking about kind of the mental game around long-term suffering. And even we'll get to fear of suffering. And sometimes when you're bracing yourself for impact, the impact on your health. And I see a number of questions have come in. Now, I know we don't take many calls on the show, so you're kind of trained to text, but Kim is ready to take your call. The phone lines are open. You can either text or call with your question. If you're shy about getting on the air, first of all, don't be shy. There's no dumb question, and we love to hear your voice. But if you are, just tell Kim, I don't want to be on the air, but here's my question. All right, yep. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. So I want to jump back a little bit to this kind of when you have a chronic issue. Because, you know, you have Lyme or mold or some of these autoimmune, you have symptoms kind of coming out of nowhere at times. And when you're dealing with these multiple issues, you can develop a trauma loop in your brain, and there's a hypersensitivity. So you are kind of fearful. That's not the same as being a healthy hypochondriac. But I think people who don't get it maybe lump these two together, but they're different things. So maybe make the distinction if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we start to see these inflammatory challenges or things start to affect our communication, especially in the brain, whenever there's a breakdown in communication, you're going to have some level of dysfunction. And so it just can't always line up linearly like a food allergy where, mm-hmm. you know, I just had an anaphylactic reaction to peanuts. Well, mm-hmm. there's many, many things that we just can't measure. And in time, we tend to measure them. You know, before Louis Pasteur and hundreds of years ago, they didn't even know bacteria existed. So we couldn't measure bacteria, yet people would get sick. And so it would come out of, you know, out of the blue for them, and they wouldn't know exactly, you know, why it was happening, or they couldn't see it. Well, that's still true today in many forms. We have different things like Lyme disease that have been very hard to measure. Mold illness is something that is just in the last couple of years really coming to the forefront. And even with that, you'll have a lot of, I've had doctors tell my patients that they don't believe that that's a thing. And so but the patients are saying, I feel this. And I can't tell you how many times after we've kind of gone through an examination and introduction and stuff, meeting a patient, and they just say, thank you for believing me. And that's the start. And I think, oh my gosh, that's crazy. They're already happy where they're at because they're just being believed.
Right.
And to me, that's really sad. Mm. And so it's also, it tells you how much that they have to fight just to get to the starting line.
Exactly.
And so that's a big, big deal. So if you are... The way I've always operated, and if you are the spouse of someone who's suffering and you don't necessarily believe them, I always operate out of believing them first, being okay looking dumb in front of them because I believe them. I'd rather believe them and help them and then eventually find and measure what's wrong. And I'd rather look like a fool for believing someone than not trusting them, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. believing them and just dismissing them and having them suffer. So I do, and in all the years, 20-plus years, I really have maybe had one or two that that ended up being where I shouldn't have necessarily trusted them per se, but it always comes out eventually. So,
mm. I bet too, with all the patients you see a consistency. You
yes.
know, I mean, there is, just for the record, lots of science around mold in a whole different world. It's
yes.
just, if they don't know about that world, you can just say it doesn't exist. But there are huge consistencies of people who've had mold toxicity, just saying.
Yeah, but, and yeah. we found little sneaky ways to measure it and test it without them knowing it to help validate us. And then we tell them afterwards, then they feel validated mm-hmm. by it. And also looking looking for the data and the research that helps to measure what's going on for them. Because once it's measurable, then people believe it.
Right, exactly. All right. This came in through the text line. Is it possible to halt or reverse coronary artery plaque buildup? What say you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very possible to halt and reverse it. Diet and lifestyle will carry a pretty heavy weight that way. And we know that if your vitamin E levels and your antioxidants stay high, that's a good sign. There are many things that can cause it, though. So anything that any free radical buildup can cause it. Plaquing can occur because of injury to the blood vessel walls. So it's all about your immune system response. There's a book coming out. I can't speak on it too much yet. It's written by a medical doctor who has been working with scientists from the United States and China. And what they have found is they're investigating why Chinese were getting more strokes and cardiovascular events once they kind of opened up to the Western diet, if you will.
Interesting. Wow.
And one of the things, I was given the book to read before it was published just to give my thoughts and stuff on it. And One of the things they found was these micro infections in the lining of the blood vessels that were triggering. They were actually feeding off of and eating the cholesterol as a food source, but they're part of the problem. And it's actually these micro infections, smaller than what we see with bacteria and very similar to Lyme, actually. And once you kind of break up the plaques and treat the infection and clean out the arteries, so to speak, then the plaquing goes away. And there's a test called a coronary calcium score, artery score, and it measures the hardness of it. And a bad score would be something like 600. And they were able to reverse some of these people with the most severe scores. And you'd hear something like 90% blockage, stuff like that, down to zero.
Hmm.
And so we know that is possible. We know it's coming. And there's research with that, with chelation therapy, especially EDTA and things like that have helped. And so we have seen that ourselves. We have a new toy at our clinic that measures arterial stiffness as well. Mayo Clinic is the only one in Minnesota that has it. And it has been very eye-opening to measure stress response. And things like stress can induce a chronic contraction of that artery and blood vessel, which then can cause little cracks in it, if you will, which then these little infectious agents can get in there. So the basic stuff like managing your stress can also play a lot into the coronary artery calcification part of this.
I heard this before. We just got about a minute and a half before break here, but I heard this, and correct me if it's wrong information, but that Alaskans, even though they have a high fat diet, would have low heart issues because they did not have sugar, where sugar is an inflammatory food. So then you go into the American diet where we've got high fat sugar. And the way someone had explained it to me is, you know, if you just have fat, it kind of goes through your system, right? But if you have sugar, it creates this inflammation and these micro tears in the vessel. And that's when the fat gets caught on it. And is that an accurate?
There's a little more to the story.
Actually,
that's completely wrong.
Is that really?
No. No, there's a little more to it. We actually, if you don't have sugar, you start using fat for energy.
Mm.
And so it doesn't completely go through you. You just use a different pathway for energy, and you burn the fat for fuel. It's actually, it gives you a little more kilocalories, a little more burst than sugar. The problem is sugar in excess. And what we do know is even things with Lyme, chronic Lyme, even a little bit of sugar causes a problem. And these chronic infections, sugar, if you're not using it properly, and or if your insulin starts to go up, it has a drastic impact on your ability to fight off the infections. Lyme is a perfect example. Actually, coronavirus is the same thing. Hyperinsulinemia is one of the predictors for whether or not you have a bad reaction to the virus or the vaccine. So the insulin sugar is a big part of our natural innate reaction. And with the cardiovascular stuff, just reducing the sugar is key and getting that insulin into balance.
We'll have to talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Dr. Troy Spurl, more with him in a minute. Something good. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Got our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl in studio. He joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. Phone lines are open. Not one person has called yet because I know we don't hardly ever take calls. Don't be shy. We got a lot of texts coming in, so we got plenty of questions to address. But it's so fun to hear somebody's voice. So if you want to text or call, I didn't mean to sound all, you know, pressure and shaming and call somebody. But I'd sure love to hear your voice. But if you don't want to, you can text. Is that better?
That was great.
877-933-2484. This dear listener says, I'm a stay-at-home mom of four littles. I'm suffering from uncontrollable bursts of adrenaline when the kids scream, something breaks, or someone gets hurt. I can't get myself back to thinking clearly and functioning normally for hours after. I feel like I'm in fight flight constantly, easily set off. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to react this way in front of my children. How can I change this? What do you say?
Yeah, that's really common, number one. So just know that you're not alone. Mm. And there's potentially a lot that goes into this, so we'll go through a few things. The fight or flight is the release of adrenaline. So when you're at your threshold, then that means that you're releasing adrenaline very quickly. If it stays there for hours, we do see people with a genetic scenario, it's called COMT, where they can't clear it out quite as efficiently. So COMT is spelled C-O-M-T. You can always look that up and look at what helps to balance or support COMT. So that's one scenario. So melatonin and deep sleep is one of the best things that helps with that to minimize it. Making sure you're getting good deep sleep is crucial during this time, and getting breaks. So it's very important to put yourself in a timeout, if you will, and make sure you're sleeping deeply, especially with that many young children.
Would you say deep breathing during the non-stress times as often as she can too? Just
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything that can kind of slow things down mentally, and then also just getting that extra oxygen in there. Certain things like caffeine have to be avoided, unfortunately, but a lot of times you're very tired, so you'll go to a cup of coffee or something like that, or even tea. So make sure coffee or tea, I should say, or caffeine, anything like that, is just pulled out. And then really look at what's inflammatory in your system. If it's either you can work on the diet part of it or the hormone part of it. And just by cleaning up some of that inflammation, you'll get some of your reserves back, and things will improve. So getting the sleep, restoring the digestive component, and then making sure the hormones are balanced. And then if there's something interfering with your ability to detoxify those fight or flight chemicals, then supporting it. Green tea is a good substitute for that. That actually helps with the COMT people as well. But we got to get you into rest and digest, and out of fight or flight. So trying to avoid it, you can't avoid the kids or leave them on their own, but you can delegate some things, ask for help. I know many, many parents who don't do that. It's okay to ask for help. Many, many moms, I should say. Dads are brilliant at asking for help with the kids.
Yes. And you know, so they maybe could research inflammatory foods and look at, you know, maybe what's in their diet that's contributing to inflammation.
Yep. And fasting is the quick way to find out. If you do a 2-day fast and you actually do better with the kids, then that means something in your diet is causing to it. So a 2-day fast. Mm. If you do a fast and you don't have your brain, that means your blood sugar is too low. And so the other thing to look at, and this can be just something that sneaks in there, are things like anemia. A lot of times when you have anemia, you don't have your normal energy or reserves, and all of a sudden your adrenaline will spike up at the drop of a hat or a drop of a dime. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's a drop of something.
Now, let me ask him, this is live radio, so I might be wrong. I'm just, because I'm not a doctor, I just play one on radio. But Smart Water just came out with a water that has ashwagandha in it. Is that ever something, like in this kind of situation, her just drinking some of that water, would that help?
So that's actually quite a good observation, Dr. Susie.
Did you all hear that?
Yes.
Okay, just let it in. Okay,
this
keep
is
going.
One of her favorite moments at every time.
Can we just pause?
So ashwagandha is called an adaptogen, and so adaptogens are also very helpful during times like this, where if stress is high, then adaptogen helps the brain be more sensitive to what's going on in the body and the hormones. So that's also a very, very good idea, and for most women, that'll be very helpful.
Thank you. I'm so glad. That kind of made up for that whole Alaskan cholesterol debacle. But anyway, we've got some people calling, and I hope I didn't shame you into calling, Tim, but you're so brave. You called anyway. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Yeah, good afternoon. I've had a couple things. I've had Guillain-Barré. I've had Bell's palsy, and just coming off of COVID now. And I'm just wondering about, you know, the thing with sugar and all that. Apparently I have some kind of an autoimmune disease or something. And when I go through all that, is there something that's kind of triggering that? Or I know Guillain-Barré is kind of a little bit of a question mark where it comes from and stuff. But what would you recommend as far as diet and things like that, you know, to maybe ward off some of that stuff?
He's been through a lot, Tim. God bless you. Yeah. I'll be quiet and let you talk.
But yeah, you can hear it in your voice, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. And first of all, just answer your for the diet part of it, autoimmune paleo is what you want to focus on with your scenario. Guillain-Barré and other autoimmune come from only a handful of triggers. Viruses can cause them. Medication reactions can cause them. Other infections can cause them. Inflammation can cause it. Leaky gut, stress, all of those things can cause it. Hormone changes or low vitamin D are another trigger. And then blood sugar being too high or blood sugar being too low can also cause and trigger an autoimmune. And so it's important to manage those different factors as best you can. There's a lot of great books on autoimmune right now. Autoimmune Paleo will walk you through the basics of it. And there's certain things that should be added into the diet and lifestyle, promoting vitamin D, omega-3 oils for anti-inflammatory, and then glutathione are the three big ones, and avoiding the other factors. There's eight total there, whether it be the inflammation from food allergies or food intolerances, all the way to different triggers from the environment. And so learning what those are for you is the challenge, but also can help you learn to manage this to minimize future reactions. And so there's a reason why people who have these scenarios, why they can keep adding on top of each other. But I can tell you right now, they can be halted and even start to reverse. We've had many patients where after years of developing these lifestyle programs for themselves, their antibodies start to decrease or even go away. And so we've seen that with many, especially with the thyroid scenarios, but we've seen that across the board. But autoimmune paleo is the best place to start, and just continue to work on the digestive system. Leaky gut and making sure that's okay is crucial for full recovery and getting your immune system to normalize. It's just out of balance right now. It's reacting to the world, basically.
Tim, God bless you. Don't give up hope. It's a long haul, but you can do it. Just take one step at a time. All right, we got Sue checking in from Minnesota. And let's see what her question is for Dr. Troy today. Hold on one second. There you are, Sue. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm wondering if Dr. Troy knows anything about, okay, I have Raynaud's syndrome. I think that's how you say it.
Yes.
But also, if you know anything about, I think it's pronounced Achenbach syndrome. It's A-C-H-E-N-B-A-C-H. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about Achenbach syndrome. I do know quite a bit about Raynaud's.
Okay, because what'll happen sometimes with my fingers, like, so one night I'm just laying in bed and like 11 o'clock at night, all of a sudden I get this sharp or this pain on my finger, almost feels like you're getting stung by a bee. And then there's pressure and my finger will get real hot and very painful. And then it might be bruised for, like, it happens to me just not too long ago.
We have a lot of questions coming in, Sue. I think he understands this one, so I'm going to let him speak to it, okay?
So generally speaking, when we get these peripheral vascular changes, there's a nerve component to it and a vascular component to it. And so it kind of falls in the category of autoimmune, but there are other scenarios too. We do see that, and this is very, very tricky. So there really isn't an answer here that's just easy. But what I will say is trying to identify some key imbalances is very important. There's a lot of times a triggering mechanism. We see with our Raynaud's and some of our vascular stuff, there usually is a triggering mechanism like an infection like Lyme or a virus or something like that. And then there's a breakdown in the ability to make certain enzymes in your digestive system. You become depleted in certain B vitamins. So B1 or thiamine deficiency is one of them. And it can cause other things like dysautonomia is what it's called, but it can cause issues where you don't digest things as well. So certain foods might trigger it. And other than just the cold weather, which is the normal trigger for the Raynaud's, for the pain in the fingertip, it could be anything that causes a spasm within the digestive tract as well. And so there's a lot more to this conversation, but B1, B6, and identifying if there's an underlying infection has been helpful for us when we've dealt with Raynaud's and some of these other peripheral nerve ending issues. I know some doctors in town here also do, for the right person, IV alpha-lipoic acid and things like that to help improve our antioxidant status to help the lining of the blood vessels. And then nitric oxide is something that can also be used to promote vasodilation, if it will, and that helps the cold not trigger things as much. Also, interestingly, it can help some of the pain sensations as well when you have more of a balance with the nitric oxide. So it's a tough one to answer directly, but there is some paths to take here to investigate it, but it would require investigation.
All right, Sue, thanks for that question. We're going to pause for our break. When we come back, Chaz, we're going to take your question. Tom, I see you on the phone as well. Bless you guys for being so brave. And then I see quite a few texts that have come in as well. We're going to get to as many of these as we can. We're committed to seeing you healthy and whole. More with Dr. Troy in just a moment. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We love this show. We love when we get to have Dr. Troy on. We have him on every month to help answer your questions on the health and the healing process. And it always is this way. We're toward the end. They flood in like a ticker tape parade in text. And we've got a couple calls as well. But we're going to just do our best to get as many as we can. Chaz is on hold, waiting patiently to ask Dr. Troy his question. Chaz, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thanks, Susie, and thanks, Dr. Troy, for taking my call. I was just wondering, how do you see the positive role that autophagy and adaptogens can have in improving metabolic pathways when you're over 55 and you're trying to lose that last 20 pounds?
First of all, you sound like a doctor on radio, but what do you say, Dr. Troy?
Absolutely. Over the age of 55, I'm just going to say it this way. I think we just need a little bit more help. And so the adaptogens really do help quite a bit with just making things a little more sensitive. So as we age, number one, our cells aren't quite as spry. We're going to say it that way, but they don't react quite the same way. But we also tend to not be able to detoxify as efficiently, and we're a little more acidic, and we have a life accumulation of damage, if you will, or nicks from inflammation, excess acidity, and our hormones just don't work as well in an acidic environment. And so when we're first born, we're not as acidic. The pH is pretty good. And it's more like a water, and it's more neutral. And then as we age, it's just more and more acidic. So it's the equivalent of taking 100 factory workers and giving them alcohol and seeing how productive they are compared to before when they weren't given alcohol. Hmm. Our hormones just work less efficient in an acidic environment. So the adaptogens help quite a bit with many different biochemical pathways because they help to make the brain more sensitive to the limited number of hormones we have, or the decrease hormones. So it's really helpful. You do have to make sure, though, if it's an herbal adaptogen, you do have to make sure that it's not contraindicated, because herbals tend to react and have different reactions, especially with medications and other other nutrients even sometimes. So just do your due diligence and look for what that adaptogen does. Ashwagandha is one of my favorite because there's not a lot there, but I'll give you an example. Licorice root can increase your blood pressure. So it helps to improve your cortisol levels, which when we age can also drop and cause fatigue and inflammatory problems. But if you take it for an extended period of time and your cortisol levels are good, it can actually spike your blood pressure too high, causing other problems.
Wow.
So you still have to manage it properly and look at the pros and cons to each one. But over the age of 50, 55, we definitely need those. And you will be able to tell fairly quickly if they're helping or not. That's the good thing about them.
Interesting. Okay. We got Tom checking in from Fargo with a question about natural painkillers, I think. Hey, Tom, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Oh, yeah. So I know this is probably a loaded question, and I know we don't have much time. I've been on ibuprofen for 35 years, and I voluntarily quit it, and I wouldn't take that much, but I know that's not good for one stomach. And I quit it April 20th and got it to this week. Finally, I had so much pain I couldn't take it. And I really want to take I take a lot of supplements and natural stuff. What's a good natural painkiller that won't upset the digestive tract?
That's a really good question, really loaded question. So, Tom, you are bang on with that when you said that right out of the gates. It really depends on what the source of the pain is. So that's the most important thing. So why is the pain happening? Because we can go through the list of turmeric and omega-3 oils in high dose can help decrease your pain. Curcumin, there's a lot of different things. CBD oil can be used effectively as well. But the reality is it depends on what is causing your pain. So I'll give you an example. Their oxalates are something that can trigger pain. Oxalates are produced, and a lot of our kidney stones are made from oxalates. But oxalates, when they are stored in the muscles, can cause fibromyalgia-type pain. So if your pain is coming from oxalates, the way you actually get those out of the body is using calcium citrate with each meal, and B6 and a few other vitamins to support it. So the best way to approach this is try to identify what's causing the pain. Is the pain in the muscles? Is it in the nerves? Is it in the bones? Because that will dictate which pain reliever works best. And so the other thing I mentioned a little earlier is a lot of inflammation is triggered in our immune system and then counterbalanced by nitric oxide. So there are things that help with nitric oxide too. I actually have a bit of a list here, so I'll read those to you. There are different products. If a product helps boost nitric oxide, that can help with pain. There are different things like certain veggies that are high in nitrates can help quite a bit. That's celery, cress, lettuce, beetroot, and spinach, increasing your antioxidants in general. And then one of the funny things that's that can actually increase pain, other than food, pulling out the inflammatory foods in your diet can be really, really important. Gluten and dairy and sugar are the top three by far. But mouthwash is something that actually can cause problems with your bacteria, decreasing your nitric oxide and increasing your pain. So that's a weird one.
Wow.
That kind of sticks out. Yeah, it's weird, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then get your blood flowing with exercise. So you still have to move to get those things going. N-acetyl-carnitine is my favorite. So N-acetyl-carnitine is something that can also help. And then what's called GPL choline it's a type of choline. Alpha-GPC, is a type of choline that can help the liver detoxify. And if you do get benefit from ibuprofen, sometimes that can help as well. So you got it. If you're not taking medication, and you're right, the chronic use of that can really, really wreak havoc on the digestive system. You have to take more of a complete approach as far as looking at the whole body and try and pull out all the inflammatory foods, find out where the inflammation's coming from, or the pain, I should say, and then try and discern from there. It's a tough one and a loaded question. I could spend a whole 8 hours just on each area, but really good question. I'm sorry for your suffering, Tom, and that is something that will require some investigation and ultimately probably a cocktail of things that'll help with that.
Wow, interesting. Okay, just got a few minutes left. I want so much to answer all of these amazing questions. There's questions about Hashimoto's, about high LDL number. Does alkaline water actually help? But I want to get to this one because it came in earlier. It says, I've struggled with migraines for 30 plus years with lots of food chemical sensitivities, just starting to learn about histamine intolerance, trying to figure out if this could be my culprit. All the symptoms seem to fit. Cannot figure out where to start with testing or supplements that might help my body eliminate or break down histamine. So I know I'm on the right track. Thank you for all you do, Susie and Doc. What do you say?
Yeah, histamine is a trigger for migraines. Histamine is used, most people know it about with antihistamines. and seasonal allergy stuff, but it also is used to help make stomach acid or release it. It's also used in the brain as a neurotransmitter, and that's how it can actually have a mechanism of migraines. And so antihistamines, a usage if it takes the migraine away or decreases, sometimes will work, but there's four types of histamine receptors in the body and four types of histamine. And so there are different products, and just because one doesn't work doesn't mean another won't. So they tend to treat the different areas of the body. I do like D-Hist from Orthomolecular. Oh, I'm not supposed to say specifics.
Oh, that's
but,
all right. It's out
oh,
there.
Sorry. Yeah. D-Hist.
Yeah. Now you can search because there'll probably be others if you like this.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So getting on top of the histamine. And histamine, when it's not managed properly, you also want to investigate what's called mast cell disorder. Mast cell and migraines can go together. And the most important thing is to find out what might be triggering the mast cell release. So sometimes it's in something in our environment like dust mites or your pet dog, and you're not getting watery eyes or a scratchy throat. You're getting a migraine instead. So that's one of the worst conversations I've had with patients is when we do find it's a histamine problem, and then we find it's an allergy to their loved pet.
Mm.
And then they have to make a decision.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about my Memphis.
That's right.
Okay. Let's ask, I've got so many here. Does alkaline water actually have any benefits?
Minimal. I would say if the more sick you are, the more benefit you're going to notice from it.
Mm.
And so do I recommend people do it? Yeah, I still think it's a good thing, but it's not a huge, huge tool in the toolbox, I'm going to say.
All right. Let's see here. If someone has that pH acid imbalance, so that their acid level's too high, and we've talked about in that past shows how bad that is for your health for so many reasons, what can they do just at home to balance that back out again?
First of all, breathing. So our oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange helps influence our pH quite a bit. The food that we eat, you can eat alkaline food. And if you Google low alkaline food or alkaline acid food chart, you'll see a bunch of them on there. And so you can stick with the lower alkaline foods. Exercising and sweating also help with that exchange, and water.
Hmm.
Now, there are many other factors that you can do to help with the alkalinity. Generally speaking, you want to look at what else is producing the acids in the body. So sometimes SIBO and fungus in excess can produce a tremendous amount of acids in the body. So these underlying infections are also quite important. SIBO stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and that's bacteria where it shouldn't be. And when they get out of control a little bit, and same with the fungus, they basically ingest sugars and they poop out acid. And so we want to make sure we're not having anything like that underlying.
Wow. Okay, we've got just about a minute left. I don't even know where to go. I have Hashimoto's disease. I'm freezing all the time despite my blood work in the target range. What might help?
So we have a minute left and you went with Hashimoto's.
Yes, I know.
Good
I just
call.
Like, grab one quick.
Okay, so with Hashimoto's, there's a lot there. There's a lot of success. I'm going to recommend the book Iodine, Why You Need It by Dr. Brownstein. And it goes contrary to a lot of the early research, but we've been using that technique to help along with an autoimmune diet. There's a lot of great books out there. Isabella Wentz has one on Hashimoto's, and it's eating an autoimmune paleo diet, making sure the leaky gut's addressed, finding out if the actual, the estrogens are out of balance, what triggered the antibodies in the first place. And then a lot of times we see iodine and selenium are the big culprits that are needed to get the antibodies down and to improve the lab work. Always go by how you feel, though. Don't look at the lab work and say, I'm not improving. I am improving. You also have to look at how am I feeling, because a lot of times the labs will not reflect how you're actually feeling.
Interesting. Wow. And we just have so many more questions. Sorry we couldn't get to yours. We're writing them down and we'll get them next time. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.